Turn to the book of Matthew, please. It's good to hear special music back in the church, isn't it? We've been able to be blessed the last few weeks with some specials and songs. Congregational singing is very wonderful, and there's going to be a lot of it in heaven. But just to hear a special song every now and then, it just warms your heart, whether it be on the instrument or in the voice. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. This is a section of Scripture that is familiar to most of you, if not all of us. It's called the parable of the talents. As we read through this here in just a minute to set the stage a little bit, does anybody know what a talent is based on what is in the Scripture here? We have a tendency to look at talent as this person can sing, or this person can play, or this person can speak. This is not what the word talent means here. This word talent is a financial term. It represents, roughly, each talent represents 6,000 days of wages. Yeah. So you got one day of drachma, and then that's the way the Romans used the money. One day of drachma for day's wages, whatever that would be, that's what you'd get for that day. And then 6,000 of these. Roughly 16 to 20 years, just for one talent. So these people would have understood this. As they're hearing this, they would have understood this, even the one talent, as a tremendous amount of money. Keep that in mind. When you do the five and the two, that makes it even more. But just understand, even one talent alone was a lot of money back then. When you're talking, hey, let me give you, rather than pay you 1 week a year for the next 20 years, I'll just go ahead and give you 20 years worth of wages right now. A lot of us would take that, wouldn't we? And then whatever happens after that, happens after that. So keep that in mind. Let's read Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. The one to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and of another 1 talent, each according to his ability. All right. Then he went on his journey. The man who received the 5 talents went at once, and he put his money to work, and he gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So you got the setting here. The guy has gone off. We know from the parable and from other teaching, this is Jesus. He's gone back to be with the Father. One day he's going to return. But what he's done is he says, look, this is my enterprise. This is my business. This is my talents that I want to give you. I'm going to entrust them to you. I'm going to give you to them, and you're going to do stuff with them. So everybody's got a share of it. One has a little bit more. One has a lot more. One has just a little amount. But they were distributed according to what standard? What is the standard? According to their own ability. I don't have to weigh the burden of 5 talents worth of God's kingdom if I'm only, in His eyes, a 2 talent person, right? I don't have to weigh that. And if I'm only a 1 talent person, I don't. Is that all right? This is an emergency. Please turn. Huh? I don't doubt it out there. Okay. All right, for those of you that are outside, we got the tornado warning in here. You probably got it on your phones out there. All right. Usually it's a baby I got to compete with. All right, so I don't have to have the weight of everybody else's talents. But at the same time, it's not a weight on me if He's given me according to my ability. So if I'm a 5-talent person in His eyes, then I'm going to get 5 talents. Okay? There's nothing we can do about it, is there? No. We can pray, right? Randy, have a prayer that God will keep this tornado away from us. For those outside in the parking lot, we're having a personal time of prayer right now. Randy's leading us. Randy?
Thank you.
Now, this sort of reminds me of VBS Nightly Week. Remember that, some of you? Also flashing through my brain is Terry Schultz, I believe it was, in one of the country churches down toward Philippi, somewhere down that way. They were in revival one week. Terry memorized his sermons word for word. He had that ability. And evidently, during this revival, they began to have a big storm, and then the lights went completely out. Now, if you've ever been in the country area, because this was more of a country, it wasn't Philippi, if you've ever been in the country area and the lights are out, it's dark. So everybody's sitting there for a moment, and nobody carried flashlights, and nobody had the phones that automatically lit up, right? Otherwise, we'd be doing like this. But anyway, he kept right on preaching. And he preached, and he preached, and he finished his sermon, and just as he finished the sermon, the lights came back on. So, everybody was still there, too, by the way. Nobody snuck out, okay, in case the lights go off in here. All right, so the setting here is this man, everybody's received their share of the kingdom. Everybody's received their share of the enterprise. They got their share of the business, according to their ability. He's gone away, and he plans on coming back. So, verse 19 says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned, and he settles accounts with them. Okay? Each man's going to answer for his own work. Each man's going to answer for his own work. You will not answer for mine. I will not answer for yours. We will not answer for everybody else's. We're only going to answer for ours. We have that responsibility. So, it says here, he settled accounts with them. The man who received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, listen to this. Well done. All right, you did a good job. You are a good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So the guy did 5. He got 5 more. I'd been happy too, wouldn't you? Somebody took some 5 parts of my business and doubled it. I'd be happy. Well, the Lord's happy. Verse 22, the man with 2 talents also came. And he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. I see you have gained 2 more. Now, everybody's worked for somebody who just loved one employee over the other. And it didn't matter how good a job you did. If this one did such and such, I mean, they just praised that person all the way to the moon, right? You may have done just as good a job, but you're just a good employee. That's the way it is. Not the way it works here, is it? What does he say? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Do you see the exact words? The Lord is pleased when you take his enterprise, his business, what he's entrusted to you. The Lord is pleased when you go out and you invest it, you get something out of it, you use it like you're supposed to do. He is thrilled to death. And he's not going to measure your accomplishment over somebody else's accomplishment. What he's going to measure is your effort, what you did with it. Going on here, then the man who received the 1 talent came. Master said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Not a good scenario to show up with, right? You didn't do anything. But he didn't lose it, did he? He got 1 talent, 20 years roughly wages. And he still got the same. We don't know how long the master's been gone in the story, but it's been gone for a long, long time. Even by now, if he had just taken it down to the bank. Now, right now, you can take $20,000 down to the bank and you're going to get 16 cents next month. Okay? That's just the way it's going to be, unless you invested in something. All right? So, but he could have taken something. At least he would have made 16 more cents next month. But he didn't make anything with it. He was lazy. He was slothful. So it says here, verse 26, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have at least put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So what does he do with the man? He turns to him and says, take the talent that this man was given and give it to the one who had 10 talents. For everyone who has given will be given more. But he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now, the final disposition of the man. This is sad, people. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you all know where that place is, right? How long are you going to hang out at that place? I mean, forever and ever and ever. You don't like the company you're hanging out with today. Guess what you're going to not like when you get where you're going? You know? You think people are bad now? You think you live in a rough neighborhood now? It's going to be miserable for eternity. I don't want it to be that way. I do not want it to be that way. And I don't want it that way for anybody else. So what do? We preach Jesus. Because who is the way to heaven? Jesus. Not any other prophet, not any other religion. The only way you're getting to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He is the door. That's the way. So, you understand the story here. They would have understood it. So let's ask ourselves some questions. Why is Jesus giving this teaching at this particular time here in the book of Matthew? Why is he giving it? Well, if you take a look at chapter 25, and you actually go back into 24. 24, the NIV titles it right off the start, Signs of the End of the Age, The Day and the Hour Unknown, chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, and then he'll follow up with the parable of sheep and goats. All this has to do with end times. When is the day coming that Jesus is going to show up? Everybody, Google real quick. What day is Jesus showing up? I mean, what day is his return? Google's got everything else. We should be able to find it on Google, right? Only, the Bible tells us, even the Son of God does not know the day of his return. Only the Father. And the Father's going to do this. The Father's going to say, "Hey, son, it's time. Let's go. Marshal the angels. Sound the trumpet. Archangel, tell them they're coming. Clouds, take him down there. And while you're doing that, you're going to see them rising up to meet you in the air." So, the day will come. But right now, Jesus doesn't even know that day. But he's telling people, you need to be ready for that day. The day when Jesus returns, you need to be personally ready. I cannot make you ready. You cannot make me ready. You can pray for me all you want. I can pray for you all I want. But we cannot make the other person ready. Who has to get yourself ready? And that's you, right? You have to do the part. Has anybody ever failed to be ready for something? A lot of times when kids go to camp, some kids wait to win. Ah, yes. And then they're running around the house and mama's pulling out her hair and everybody's going crazy because they can't find this, they can't find that. When was the time to look to see whether you had enough underwear and your underwear was clean? When was the time to do that? About 2 minutes after you walk out the door? No. You should have had it ready beforehand. When was the time to make sure you had anything else ready? You get ready for it. That's just one example. I get a kick out of Haley did it, and also Sydney's done this, I think, as well. It comes time for volleyball practice. I don't have any knee pads. Can't practice without knee pads. What am I supposed to do? And Daddy or Mommy or Grandpa, and Grandpa's done it once, had to run out to one of the sports stores and get the knee pads. Worst dilemma in the world. You go down there, I said, need a set of knee pads. What size? Well, the size that fits my granddaughter. That's why I'm in here. What size does she wear? Well, just give me the middle one and we'll see what happens. You know, when was the time to have been ready for practice? Ahead of time. But kids don't think that way. And the unfortunate part about it, a lot of us are nothing more than big kids. We don't get ready ahead of time. The Bible tells us to be personally ready. Jesus is teaching this parable along with other parables saying, you don't know when the Son of God is coming. Get yourself packed up now. Now, I'm going to talk here in just a moment about some of the things you need to be doing, but get yourself ready right now. Why is this teaching necessary at all? Because he is going to return. The world doesn't think so. I know a man who made this statement. He's very ill, very sick, and he says, I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die like this. And under his philosophy, under his mindset, under his worldview, once he closes his eyes in death, that is it. There is nothing beyond. That's the way he feels. And now all of a sudden, now, after all these years, the mindset is realizing, I'm about to set this philosophy into practice here in just a moment, and I'm not ready for this. When is the time to get ready? Now is the day of salvation. How many of you know you have tomorrow? How many of you think you have tomorrow? Where all hands go up, right? But how many of us know we have tomorrow? When I was driving one day here, I had gone, it was church, and I had left here, and I'm headed into Elizabeth City. And when I get down there to that store there, what is it called? Drive through, whatever. Duck through. No. One further down. Anyway. Zoom in. There you go. All right. I got Zoom. All right. Zoom in. So as I'm approaching that, I look over to my right to see if any cars are coming for some reason. And then I was going to look back to my left. There's a man that used to come to church and lived over that way. And I was going to see if he's home just because I just worried about him. All of a sudden, I heard, bam! And I looked, and there's two cars coming at me. Somebody ran that light. And that crossover from North Side Road there, they were crossing over there on West Main Street. Somebody ran, either they ran the light or the other person ran the light. But either way, the impact knocked both cars toward me. I pulled right over. They went by, one went behind me, one stopped just short of me. Those three people, one driving one car and a mother and daughter in the other car. How many of them thought they had the next day? Right. Two of them did not have the next day. And I don't know the status of the one that was in the other car, but certainly was messed up. But they thought they had tomorrow. Now, I hope and pray they were ready for the Maker. But that reminds me, and it reminds me continually, you need to be ready. I'm coming by the old Sawyer's towing place there, and all of a sudden, there's a guy who's come between two cars as I'm in this lane, and there's no stopping. I brought it down every inch I could and thought maybe I just might miss his back bumper. But when they pull trailers, I mean, there's a trailer. I had no shot. And he just raked across. Fortunately, it was a low-speed impact. Airbags were not deployed. But I'm sitting there laying back because the seat cart kicked all the way back. I'm laying back and I'm just thinking, it was that close. It was that close, Ron. If you'd been going a few miles faster, you might not have been able to stop hardly at all. If you'd been going a few miles slower, maybe you'd have missed. But that's how quick it can happen. And I'm not trying to scare you into heaven. I want you to make the decision to go to heaven. If I scare you, someday you're not afraid anymore. But you got to make your decision. Got to be ready. So Jesus is giving this teaching to say, look, tomorrow's not the day to get ready. Today's the day to get ready. You don't know when the return is coming. So, what is it that Jesus has given us to do? How much of this enterprise, how much of these talents have you got? Five talents, three talents, one talent. What have you got? I put down some verses of Scripture here, if you want to follow along with me. If you go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, here's what's been given to every person. Whether you're a five talent, two talent, or one talent level, here's what's been given to every person. He says there in verse 16 and following, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Now, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. It has been given to the church to go out and make disciples. If you're not making a disciple, you may have a problem when it comes time for the master to appear and you've got to give a response, accounting of what you've done. You may have trouble if you're not making a disciple. Well, I'm not one for talking to people. I'm not one for doing this. Find out what you are good at and use it to make disciples. Okay? Whatever it is you're good at. Moses said, I can't talk. So he gave him Aaron. If you read the account very carefully, it's not long before Aaron's not talking. It's Moses talking. I mean, he got his confidence. He got his ability. So sooner or later, God is going to entrust you. If you don't think you can talk in front of people, I'll take you back to 11th grade, Mr. Adams' class in English. And I had to get up and speak. And you talk about perspiring all over the place. Some of you probably said, I'd shut up now. I wish I'd just stay quiet. But I could not do that. Could not get up in front of people and talk. One of the scariest things I ever had to do was as a brand new second lieutenant, standing there before 40 guys, all of them older than me, it seemed like. I know my sergeant was in his 40s, Sergeant John Bear, and I'm scared to death. He says, he calls the platoon to attention. I come up, I salute him. He says, sir, the platoon is formed. I said, I'll take care of the platoon then. He renders a salute, he does his thing. I got to then give commands. I got to either say stand at ease or parade rest or something. Now, you're 20 years old, and you look like you're 16 years old, and also you got a voice that squeaks if you get too high, and not sounds as good as Miss Angela's voice. So you're scared to death. You're going to say, "Hades," and their Barney Fife type thing. That's what you're scared you're going to do. And then when you get done, you got to call them back to attention. Now, they taught me at OCS, I have to say attention. NCOs say attend hut. Attend hut is easier to say. But I got to call him back. John Bear comes back up. Well, before he comes back, I call him, "Platoon, attention." They come back up there. He comes back. Now I turn the thing. You know, everybody understands, I was scared to death that that's what was going to happen. So I didn't want to take the platoon very often. You know, "No, you go ahead and talk to him." Because he got one of those strong, powerful voices. All of us need to understand, we got to do what we can do, and God will empower us to do more. But you got to step out and do it. I don't want to do a high wire act, I'll be honest with you. I do not want to do a high wire act. And you don't want to be below me if I'm doing a high wire act. Okay? But I have a hunch, those people, when they first started, were uncomfortable too. And now, it's second nature for them to walk. I get to see Marvin Patrick's post a lot on Facebook. The guy was an iron worker, works up on high things, and he's showing pictures of people just standing there like that. The picture of me would be like this, holding on to anything I could, and then there'd be having to be a group of people trying to figure out how to get me down. But first time he did it, he was probably scared too. Step out on faith and do something for the Lord. So this teaching is given to us. We need to spread the gospel. Mark, I'm going to run out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and speed dial this a little bit. For those of you that are listening to this, and you want to play it back later, or you can write down Matthew 6, chapter 14 and 15. Who are we to forgive? It says there, forgive those who've done you wrong. If you don't forgive, God will not do what? So, can you practice forgiveness? Is there somebody in your life you need to forgive for something they've done? John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35 tells us to love one another. How much love can you give somebody? You can pour it out all you want, right? How much love has God given us? I mean, look up, people, and realize that He sent His Son from the glory to come down here and die on a filthy cross. We got all our clean crosses, but that was not a clean cross. That was a nasty, hard thing to die on. And He came down and did that for us. So we're supposed to love. When somebody doesn't love you back, don't care about it. Just love them. Just love them. In a marriage, you often hear the phrase 50-50. Marriage is not 50-50. Regardless of what the other spouse does, your marriage is to be 100%. You are to love that person. You are to see to that person's care. You are to minister to that person. They are your lifetime mate. You love them regardless. How many of you mates are willing to admit that you're unlovable at times? My hand goes up. I know at least once in my lifetime. And it's called almost forever. But she loves me no matter what. We are to do that. We are to love one another. John chapter 21, verse 17, we are to care for His people, feed His church. Matthew 14, verses 13 to 16, we're to be an example to the rest of the world. Matthew 25, verse 35, which is right near our passage here. We are to feed the hungry and thirsty. We're to care for the poor, the prisoner, and the sick. And we're to be hospitable to foreigners and outsiders. So, how much of the kingdom have you been given? It's not your job to convert the whole world. It's God's job to take care of the harvest. Your job is to do what you can at that moment, at that time. Be the Christian you've been called to be. Get rid of sin. Keep sin out of your life. Be a shining light and let everybody see Jesus Christ in you. One person has said we are participants in Jesus' ministry. It didn't say spectators. It didn't say commentators. It said we are to be, as I said at VBS, participators. We are to participate in the ministry of Jesus Christ. We're not on the sidelines. We're not cheering everybody else on. We are in the game doing our part. Which part of football do you love the most if you're playing? I got a grandson that wants to play football. He is not a speed demon. He's not very quick. He struggles, and it makes him cry when coaches won't let him have the ball because he can't outrun the other team. It makes him upset when he has to go out for a pass and they won't throw the ball to him because he's not going to get open. Sarah's working with him repeatedly and trying to help him in every way possible. But what he could do, the coach let him do, he snapped the ball. And he went out and they got a Northeastern High School graduate who is a real good center and is working with him, things like that. He can at least do. So what is he trying to do? What he can. It's not what you can't do that you're going to be judged on. It's what you can do that you're going to be judged on. Get out there and be involved. Be participants. And also remember, you are a steward of what Christ values. S-T-E-W-A-R-D. A steward. That's someone who takes care of something for somebody else. So you are a steward. You're to see to take care of God's property. Jesus has said to the church and us as individuals, you are my people. It is through you. I'm not doing it through the angels. I'm not doing it through some great prophets. I'm doing it through each one of you. I'm doing this. I want the world to hear about my son. And I'm asking you to do your part in getting that word out to everybody else. And I'm placing within you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be a good steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And finally, just remember, the word entrust. That means somebody thinks highly enough of you to give you something that they want taken care of and looked after. Jesus has entrusted us with it. He has called us to be the trustee of what He's given to us. It's our job to see to it. All right, our text today was Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. We've heard from it before, but I think we needed to hear from it again because too many Christians have done this. I got baptized back in 19 whatever, and I go to church once in a while. I'm ready when the Lord comes. And that's their approach to Christianity. But that's not what the Bible calls us to do. When is He coming? Listen right now, you might hear the trumpet. I didn't hear it that moment. When's He coming? He's coming any moment. And it may be another 2,000 years, and you may get bored waiting. Well, you won't live 2,000 years, but you know what I'm saying. You may get bored waiting. That's what Satan likes. He wants you bored. So make sure you're ready when He comes. He wants you ready, and He wants you to give an accounting. Don't be the one talent guy who just wasted it and squandered it and didn't do anything with it. Be the two and the five talent guys who went out and invested it and advanced the kingdom of God. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. Tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.